Hello, everyone. This is your host, Fish. Welcome to Bite Size History, the show where we take a look at a person or event in history in 15 minutes or less. Today, I'm actually going to do something a little different. I'm still working on the Great Emu Wars, but I want to take a moment to review an amazing book. Now, real quick side note, if you hear some strange noises in the background, I am recording in the middle of a thunderstorm that is pretty epic, so you might hear that. Anyway, I want to do some book reports, book review sort of things every now and then, but don't expect any consistency with that. So enjoy this episode. Don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform you listen to. Now everybody knows, or should know, about D-Day. It was one of the most difficult military tasks ever. Thousands of soldiers had to sail across choppy waters to land on a heavily fortified beach and overrun the enemy before reinforcements could be brought forward. If they were successful, then maybe, just maybe, the Allies would be able to end the reign of a genocidal maniac. Soldier, sailor, frogman, spy, airman, gangster, kill or die. Yes, that is the name of the book. Soldier, sailor, frogman, spy, airman, gangster, kill or die. It's by Giles Milton. Puts you right in the action of this critical moment in history. With first-hand accounts and anecdotes, it brings humanity to the struggle. From the midnight parachute drop to the night of the next day, this book covers every aspect of the invasion. Now, I've read Band of Brothers and some other books about World War II and about D-Day, and I've seen movies like Saving Private Ryan, but I have never read something that fully captures the insanity of this venture. The Allies had one shot and poured all of their resources into it. The men that stormed the beaches, they barely slept the night before. Then they boarded these ships. The ships sailed across the English Channel, and the weather was awful, so it was tossing and turning the whole time. This inclement weather made many of them sick. They were puking on the floor or into their helmets, and they were given a little bit of food to kind of give them some strength to carry on, but even that, they probably puked out. And then they had to shrug it off and swim slash charge onto the beach to find whatever little cover they could. Some men climbed straight up cliff faces, while others found more gradual routes. All of this while bullets and mortars are flying through the air. Men saw their comrades cut down in front of them. These people had spent at least 7 months training together. Besides whatever time they had spent serving in combat elsewhere, they had spent the last 7 months training for this mission. They knew each other as closely as it was possible to know, and they watched each other die and just had to keep going. And even after they made it off the beaches, the fight was not over. Towns that served as German reinforcement points had to be taken and fortified before the Germans were able to show up. So reinforcements for the Allies, they would eventually come. There were more ships of soldiers coming. But they had to hold on. And many of these guys, they fought for 24 hours straight. I can't imagine the strain of that. At what point do your adrenaline resources just run out? I mean, I spent years working in restaurants, and I think about times that I would have a crazy 16-hour shift, like Christmas at IHOP is insanity. And I'd have this 16-hour shift working on my feet all the time, and I would go home, and I just want to crash for a few days. And my life wasn't even in danger in that situation. One of the fantastic things about this book is that it presents different perspectives. The author is British, and so he definitely pulls from them some of that, which me, as an American, we definitely see what the United States did about Omaha Beach, but there were four other landings. While Omaha was the most difficult beach to take, the others had their challenges and moments of heroics. Soldier, Sailor, I won't say the rest of the title, offers a view into the Canadian and British troops, as well as what the German defenders were going through.
And now for a brief commercial.
So many books have been written about World War II and D-Day, but this one does an amazing job of balancing detail and accessibility to the average reader. At moments you'll be in awe, while other times you will be moved by the loss. Even in the midst of that, there are stories that will make you laugh. Like, here's one excerpt real quick. The advance on Arromanches proved tough going, and by the time Lieutenant Edward Wright and his soldiers from the Royal Hampshires reached the outskirts of town, they were feeling bloodied and bruised. Wright's battalion had lost 200 men, some killed, some badly injured. Those who limped into the outskirts of Arromanches were told to dig themselves in while they awaited reinforcements. While they were doing this, they witnessed a scene that might have dropped straight from an Ealing comedy. As the men scooped a ditch through the garden of one of the larger villas on the edge of town, Lieutenant Wright found himself being dressed down by a female voice of such haughtiness that it could only have belonged to an upper-class English matriarch, one who had inexplicably avoided being interned by the Germans. "I demand to speak to the officer in charge," snapped the lady in question. Wright asked why, only to find himself at the end of an angrily wagging finger. "Your men are digging up my flower beds and making a whole mess of the place," she said, "and it is quite unnecessary. I demand that they stop." Wright could scarcely believe his ears. He had spent the last 9 hours fighting a bloody advance towards Arromanches, and now he was being admonished for damaging a flower bed? Amused and bemused in equal measure, he expressed his astonishment at the lady's outburst. But this only poured fuel onto her fire. She gave him a second dressing down. In different circumstances, or in a different world, Wright might have meekly obeyed. She, after all, was his social superior. But after his experiences that day, he simply lost his rag. "I told her very curtly that I was not going to have any of this nonsense, and I asked if her house had a cellar." When she nodded, he offered her a most helpful piece of advice. "If you don't want to be shot, go down there until I tell you if you can come out." She stormed off in a fit of pique and disappeared underground, just as he had suggested. Within a few hours, Wright and his men continued their advance into Arromanches, leaving behind one crushed flower bed and one disgruntled English lady. Only much later did Wright realize that he had forgotten to inform her that she could leave her hiding place. Soldier, Sailor, Frogman, Spy, Airman, Gangster, Kill or Die is a must-read for anyone who is even remotely interested in history. I checked it out from the library, but I'm definitely purchasing it. One of the great things about it is that you can dive in and fly through it, or take your time, read a few pages at a time. Just enjoy a little bit before bedtime. Every page will invite you to read more. Check it out at your library, or drop by your local bookstore and ask them to order it for you. Well, thank you once again. This is your host, Fish. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Help me out by writing a review or subscribing to Bite Size History on whatever platform you use. And you can also connect with the Bite Size History Facebook page at Bite SZ History. That is Bite, S as in Sam, Z as in Zebra, History. Thank you, and see you next time.